Blog Talk Radio.
I'm nothing special, in fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before.
Hello, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. I am so happy to have everyone here tonight. We have a very, very special guest, and her name is Lena Maria, and you were just listening to her sing, "Thank You for the Music." I really am honored to have Lena Maria. She is calling in from, I believe, Sweden, so it's quite early in the morning for her. And that makes it extra special because I know how hard it is sometimes to get up. I also have a very special co-host, and I will be bringing Mark up in just a second. His name is Mark Skelton. And first I want to tell you just a little bit about Lena Maria. I'm going to let her tell you mostly about herself. She was born in Sweden. She's a gold medal swimmer, a singing star, a painter, and a writer. In 2008, Lena Maria received the King's Medal from H.M. Carl Gustav, I believe, with the words, "For prominent accomplishment as an artist, athlete, and model for people with disabilities in Sweden and abroad." This is particularly special because Lena Maria was born with no arms and only one full leg. So she is quite an overachiever, as you probably have guessed. And I want you all to know that if you look at the description page, you're going to see several things about her. And also her book is for sale through Amazon.com. And some of her music, and that scrolling by, and you can buy anything of that nature just by clicking on it. And also, I wanted to let you know that Lena Maria has a website at www.lenamaria.com. That's LenaMaria.com. So before we bring Lena up, and there's much more to tell you about her, I'm going to bring up Mark Skelton, who is our co-host. And Mark is a Hollywood producer, director, and also filmmaker who started his own production company. And he is working on a film that we're going to talk about at another time. He's going to be my guest next week. And so let me bring Mark up and tell him hello and let him help me get on with the show. Hello, Mark.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am so fine. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I'd just like to say hi to Lena Maria, and I'm going to try and pronounce, I think it's Klingvall. Is that correct?
Klingvall. Let me ring up Lena. We're going to find out. Hello.
Hello.
Lena?
Hello. Good morning or good evening.
Good morning. What time is it there, Lena?
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Good morning, Lena. Thank you for making the extra effort to speak with us this evening. It's a real pleasure to meet you over the telephone. And I was just attempting your surname or your last name. Is it Klingvall? Is that correct?
That's correct. That's perfectly correct.
Oh, thank you.
We are so honored to have you, Lena. I didn't go on with all of the description and the your background because I really prefer for the guests themselves to talk about themselves and let us know more I just want to tell you as well, thank you so much for calling it at this hour. We were more than willing to have it at an hour that would have been more suitable for you, but your agent said, no, she's going to do it at your time. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be the show. So it's really nice.
Well, we are so honored. We really enjoyed that beginning song. It's beautiful. Thank you for the music.
Thank you.
And, you know, everything about you is just so inspiring for all of our listeners tonight or this morning, depending where you are. That's the beauty of the internet, I suppose. Everyone around the world can be listening to this, no matter if it's 4 a.m. or 7 p.m.
That's right. Now, Mark, you're in Hollywood, California, right?
That's right, yes.
And I'm in San Francisco, California. And where exactly are you located, Lena?
Right now I'm in Sweden. I used to live in Stockholm, our capital, but recently I just moved back to my hometown in the south part of Sweden. So that's where I'm at now.
And what's your hometown called?
Jönköping.
Mm.
Oh, well, I have a very good friend from Karlshamn. That's in the south, isn't it?
Yeah, it's around in the south. It's not really here, but it's south.
Right, okay. Yeah, I've never visited.
Yeah.
I just vaguely remember where he pointed on the map.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lena, I found your you through TED, TED conference.
Yes,
I was directed there, and I just was amazed, and I thought, oh, I'm going to ask her to be on my show. I must. Mm-hmm. And that was quite an honor for you to be speaking at that distinguished conference, it's TED conference, right?
Yes, it was an amazing experience, and I was very, very privileged and felt very honored to be invited there.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of TED. They get the most amazing speakers, don't they?
It's so amazing, and all the speakers are so interesting in so many different ways because they speak about so many different subjects. And it was four packed days with a lot of interesting speeches and people and
wow.
very
now
fun.
You have to be invited. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, as a speaker, you have to be invited. So you cannot apply for it or anything.
You cannot.
Be invited.
And Bill Gates was also a speaker at this. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was the first day. He was the speaker and then
the
main speaker, I would say.
So you went out to dinner with Bill Gates, right? No.
What happened? I still got the check.
Did he take the check?
He took the check. No, he took the check.
Well, I actually heard about Derek Sivers, who started CDBaby.com. He talks about all the conferences on Twitter. And so he's always telling everyone about where he's going. And so when he put that TED, I clicked on it and I went, oh, my gosh, look at these people.
isn't Derek the most amazing guy? He's an unstoppable machine. And
absolutely.
Could introduce him. He's amazing, Lena, especially for your CDs. He founded a company. He's actually no longer working for CD Baby.
No.
We're in communication via email, actually. He's a fan of Peace Pilgrim, and he's recently left CD Baby. But what they do, Lena, is actually allow independent artists to sell their CDs through their network of literally hundreds of thousands of buyers all around the world, and the profits, you know, the profits go straight to the artist. It's like, you know, they cut out all of these middlemen. So, you know, like when if you go through a big label, for example, or you lose all kinds of, you know, expenses here and, you know, this, that and the other. They can keep just their accountants can get very creative. Whereas this place, they're renowned for making sure the artist actually gets a bigger chunk of the actual selling price. So we should send you the link after the show so you contact them for your own CDs.
That's wonderful. Yeah,
that would be great. Lena, now when you were if you would like to just give us a something, you know, whatever you want to, everybody out there to know about yourself, because this show will be downloaded all over the world by many people. Mm-hmm. So I want you to have this opportunity to tell everyone about yourself, whatever you want them to know or don't want them to know, or just
When I'm out in the world singing or speaking or telling people about myself, the main reason that I want to do that is because I love the life and love to live my life. And I think that each person's life is so precious and that everyone is so important in this world. And even though I was born with my handicap, maybe it has helped me to really live my life. I don't know. Since I don't know anything else, I cannot compare. But I believe that life is really a gift for everyone to take care of and to enjoy, and to find out what we are good at and do what we are good at, because I think that everyone is good at something. So I've always enjoyed my life very much and the different things that I'm doing.
Well, you know, one of the things I put that I sent around as PR information is what something you had said: I rejoice in what I can do, not mourn what I can't.
Yeah.
Those are your words, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think that... It's so easy in the society that we live in today to try to reach for the things that we don't have. We want to buy things we don't have. We want to achieve things that we don't have. And of course, in some ways, that's good. But I think also that sometimes we have to stop and invent what we already have and use what we have. Because I think that every person has so much already inside themselves that we sometimes forget. And every person is so rich in its own personality and in her or his own talents.
Right.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I just think, it goes back to the old, what I would consider, like a universal truth, if you like. If you have to start with gratitude for what you have to build on that.
Yes.
No matter where you are and no matter what you have, and, if you're constantly in a state of want and need, then you're literally going to be miserable. You know, it's always going to be something you want. But if you appreciate what you have, and that's really the exercise of gratitude, and I think that's where a lot of, New Age philosophies and a lot of these books and self-help things, they don't focus enough on the gratitude and what we actually have and to appreciate everything in our lives. And that's physical, mental, spiritual, material, whatever. And, I think if you start from that foundation, then you just build and build and build. And that's the true route to happiness, instead of constantly wanting or needing what everybody else has. And, we all know that things don't make you happy. And you find your own happiness, and it has to come from within. Inner happiness and inner peace are really, they're the only things that can create the outer reality for everyone else.
Yeah,
right. Well,
so
just like today, Lena, when you, I'm just thinking, but you might have had assistance getting up and getting dressed, or are you able to do all that by yourself?
No, today I was able to do that myself. I just put the alarm on. Two alarms, actually.
Oh, okay.
You wake me up.
You did it. Well, I was looking at your paintings. My God, Lena, they're gorgeous. I'm just like, did you look at her website, Mark? I don't know if you've even had a chance, but...
Yes, I have, actually. And funnily enough, I'm looking at it right now.
Art.
The paintings are amazing. They're beautiful, really beautiful.
Now, you paint with your... How do you paint, Lena? Where do you put the paint?
I paint with my foot.
With your foot, okay.
Yes, I mostly sit on a table, and I have the paintings in front of me, and I paint with my foot. Then sometimes if I'm outside and I want to paint a landscape, for example, then it's easy to stand up, and then I use my mouth and I paint. But mostly I paint with my foot.
So you use either your mouth or your foot, and you just go ahead and do... did you get a lot of encouragement from your family or... or, you know, what was it that kind of propelled you to go on regardless?
Yeah, I think my parents, they always treated me very normal. They always said my handicap become something that was just natural in our
sure.
daily life. And when others used their hands, I used my feet, and that was it. And because they treated me in that way, I always felt like I was like my friends who had arms, and I felt like I was just like them. The only difference was that I was using my feet and they used their hands.
Amazing. So you just went on with your life as, and the singing, did you start singing as a little girl, or was that later, or how did that?
Well, I started to sing very early. My parents, they were involved quite much in the church, so they took me there and I sang in the children's choir, and we had a lot of music in our family too. And then, but I was not very good at singing. I could sing in the right tune, but my voice was very weak and very soft. But then when I became older in the senior high school and also then at the university, then I started to take singing lessons. So that's when I learned to sing. And
so it was in high school. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you started, when did you make your first record or CD?
The very first one was in 91, I think. The pianist that I was working with and I, we thought that we should just record what we were doing, just to remember what we were doing and to document it. So that's what we did, and then we started to sell it on our concerts, and people liked it very much. And then the Swedish television made a TV program, a documentary about my life. And it was sold to Japan. So right after we did that CD, we were invited, or I was invited to a live show in Japan on the TV. And then after that, a lot of people were interested in doing a lot of things. So then that's when we really started to make CDs.
And that was Goal in Sight. Was that the name of the documentary?
That's right. That's right. And they made that documentary in 1988 in Sweden. And that was when I was competing in the Paralympic Games in Seoul, in South Korea.
And you were presented, let's see, what was HRH? Go ahead.
Yeah, but then I was a swimmer in the Swedish team, so I went there to compete with the swimming.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't see how they... So when you're swimming, so you're just using all the power where...
Yeah, well, then I use the butterflies. Is the swimming style that suits me best, because then you use your whole body, just like a fish does.
Mm-hmm.
So then I use my whole body like a wave or like a fish, and then the feet gives the speed, or the legs gives the speed.
Are you fast? How fast can you swim a mile?
No, I wouldn't say that I'm fast.
But
it depends on what you compare with. But in my class, I was fast. In the Paralympic Games, I didn't manage to take any medals, but I do have two world records and two world championship medals, gold medals.
That's pretty good, Lena. You're pretty good.
In my class, I'm fast. But if you compare, I mean, with a regular swimmer with both arms and legs, of course, then I'm not so fast anymore.
Do you swim, Mark? Are you an athlete, Mark? Or
I do. I mean, I'm more of a... there's something here in Santa Monica they call the Santa Monica Steps, and I try and do them every day. It's basically 2,000 steps. I run up and down. It's actually 200 up and 200 down, obviously, and I do it 10 times nonstop, and it's the most amazing workout.
Wow.
And I'm focusing on getting faster and faster, and my whole body has just transformed. It's just like I just feel...
Mark, that's pretty good.
It's just when I first started the steps, I could only do two. And now I do 10, and I vary them and do double steps and do side steps, you know, just to work, give my whole body a different workout. But anybody who's feeling down or anyone who's feeling depressed, my advice is do some exercise. Do not don't go and see the doctor. Don't take any uppers or whatever, you know, any medication. It's, just give yourself 6 weeks of eating well, sleeping well, and doing exercise. Lay off the junk food, and your body will transform, and it will thank you, and your energy will come back, and those clouds of depression will just disappear, you know, and that's the medicine. You know, it's like for everybody. It's like do what nature intends, and that is just literally be active, you know? And you're a great example, Lena. You know, like nobody has an excuse to be sat watching TV for 6 or 7 hours a day. I mean, you're showing everybody, and no matter, you know, no matter if you have a handicap or if you're able-bodied or whatever you want to call it, you are actually showing that, you know, we're creative beings, and life is a creation, and it's not about being miserable and doing a 9-to-5 and being in the rat race and complaining about everything. It's about just taking the gratitude, taking where you are, and really just creating, whatever that may be. And I agree with you, Lena, we all have something. I think mine's talking, but we all have something that's good. And you know, and you have to explore that and really, really delve into that and create, you know, from that place. And I think, you know, and I mean, I truly believe, you know, that your whole existence as, you know, you're here as a shining light for everyone else. And this is why I'm so happy to be speaking to you tonight, because you're just this amazing example of what anybody can do if you put your mind to it and you put your heart into it. You know, you're achieving all these amazing things.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at your CV, as I call it, but your list of accomplishments, and you're still young, you know, and you've done more than most people do in their lives. And, you know, people need to look at what can I do? How can I explore my own creativity?
That's right. Well, I imagine, Lena, do you have, what is your next goal, or what are you working on now?
Well, at this moment, this spring, I'm working on to make my own documentary about my life.
Oh.
I'm also working on a new summer CD.
Okay.
And but then also when I hear you speak, Bart, I think about that it's so important to enjoy what we are, to enjoy, find things to rejoice over, find things in our lives that we find interesting or find fun to do, and not only eating, sleeping, working, but find things that we really enjoy doing. I think that's very important too.
Absolutely, yeah. That's
and what do you do for enjoyment, Lena, when you're just like chilling, you know, laying out or whatever?
Well, I feel very spoiled because everything I do, I enjoy very much.
Everything you do.
So I work with my hobbies in a way.
That's your hobby. Well, when I hear you sing, I think, you know, I think that could be your heart. You know, it's like, you know, I'm going to play actually the You Raise Me at in just a couple of minutes. And honestly, I kept listening over and over. I did a test show to make sure that we could hear everything. And I could just hear the joy when you sing. You know, I couldn't help but think, your painting is gorgeous, but I do believe you love to sing.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can always know what a person really gets off on and that. Are you, now, when will this documentary about your life, when will that come out? Or
I hope it will be done and ready to release it in the early fall. That's
early
my,
fall.
My goal and my hope. Yeah, but it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of things that I want to have in there, and I don't want to rush it just to get it out. So, but I hope this fall it will come out.
Well, good luck with that. We look forward to seeing it. Hopefully, you know, hopefully you can sell it to HBO, one of the big channels over here, and you know, the whole of America can see it because you're a shining light. A lot of people.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because, you know, it's people like you, Lena, that make us realize that, you know, well, I might have had a hard time getting up this morning, but, hey, wait a minute. I've got two arms, two legs, you know, it's like, come on. Got to take a closer look. And then, you know, you think, well, here's Lena, and she offered to get up. That's very, very rare. I've had about 85 shows, and most of the people want me to gear them around them, and which I do, Lena. I mean, I'm the host, and I do that. But in your case, your agent wrote me, and he said, nope, Lena will get up for your time and or your show's time. And I just went, what? Yeah. say that again.
Lena, can I ask you a question? Something on your, you know, your day-to-day lives. Obviously, I notice you do work with other disabled people, and when you meet them on a day-to-day basis, do you feel like the inspiration that you give to them? Because obviously, not everyone is born with your drive and your, you know, your motivation and your energy. But you must have had some people have said, you know, they've said to you, you changed my life. You know, do you have any stories like that?
Yeah, actually, the things that really encouraged me to continue what I'm doing is when people write me letters or emails and telling me that when I read your book, I was able to go back to school again, or I had a girl coming up to me after a concert in Japan, and she had only 2 months left to live because she had a very severe cancer in her body. And she said that your concert inspired me so much that I'm going to enjoy every second of the rest of my life. And to hear that really that touches me very much. And when I hear from people when they get motivation to continue what they are doing and enjoy their life and really go do what they're supposed to do, then that gives me a lot of inspiration to continue what I'm doing. And I receive a lot of letters, and I try to answer each one of them because I think it's so important to be personal with people most possible way I can, but there's
also
a time limit. But,
I can imagine, you know, if people are writing to you, I can only imagine how many people you've actually touched, you know, people who have read your work, but not everyone writes letters, you know, it's a small percentage, really, but you could have still, you know, touched so many more people who, you know, you just changed something inside them, and then they went to, the next day they woke up with a completely new perspective or a different attitude on how to appreciate what they have and move on and be inspired, so... I think that's really, you know, if every life has a purpose, then I think this is really what your purpose has been. And, you know, you're doing a great job.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I would love to play your song, You Raise Me Up As, right now, if that would be all right, or if you have something else you'd like to add before we do that.
That's fine. This song is one of my... actually, it was a lot of people in Asia who asked me, please record this song. We want to hear it when you sing it. And then it was now for this latest CD that I did last fall when I decided to put it on there. And it's a beautiful song that I really enjoy singing.
So I'll go ahead and put that on. You Raise Me Up by Lena Maria. Yeah, that's gorgeous. Thanks, Lena. That's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beautiful voice.
Thank you very much.
And so I noticed your TED conference was only in February, right?
Yeah.
So we just missed you. We could have had you live on the show in California.
Oh, that's right. Next time.
Exactly. Do you plan on coming back to the States anytime soon?
I will have a concert tour in October. Then I will be back.
Oh, well, that's only around the corner, isn't it? Especially the way time flies these days.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, and how did I don't know if we covered this actually, but how did TED find you? Because I know we found you through TED, but how did you actually get onto TED?
The agent that I have here in Sweden, a good friend of his is one of the people in the committee of TED, June Cohen, who introduced me on stage, and she came to Sweden this summer and. My friend here in Sweden, he said, you just have to meet Lena Maria. And then I picked her up with my car, and we drove to a sushi restaurant, and we had sushi together. And we had such a good time together, a lot of laughing, a lot of talking. And she said, oh, I really wanted you to have you as a speaker at the TED. But then she said it's already full and we already have all the speakers planned and it's going to be hard. But then in December she contacted me again and said that she had a spot for me. So she asked if I could come. So of course I wanted to come and make room for that. So it was an amazing experience. Very, very fun.
I'm fascinated by the quality of speakers TED continually gets. Mm. They always hit the mark, don't they?
Yeah. Hey, they've got the tops around the world. They call them the tops of the thinkers and the doers.
Yeah, that's a good definition.
I'm amazed myself. I don't know, you know, it's like Bill Gates. I thought, now how in the world? Did he base it? Well, I guess he was talking about his philanthropic works, but... Still, you know, it's like these are the tops of the tops, and that includes you, Lena Maria. You are up there.
Yeah, thank you very much. I feel very humbled, but it's. I think when I was preparing my speech for TED, I there were a few things that I wanted to focus on. One of these things is that to be able to achieve things and to be able to use the things that we have already been given and to use the lives that we have, we also need to know that we are loved. And I feel very fortunate because I received a lot of love from my parents and from my family, from my friends and from the whole surrounding, also from God and through my faith. And I think that in order to use the life that we have been given in a good way, we need to have people around us that we know love us. And it doesn't have to be the family because that's not always the case. But we do need to know that we are loved because that gives us freedom to fail. In learning things, we fail a lot of times. And I have failed, I think, more than others because I had to learn it in a different way, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know that you're loved, you can fail, and the moment that you succeed to do something, you just forget all the earlier feelings. And so that's also one ingredient that is very important, to know that you're loved.
Now, Lena, have you met Stephen Hawking, the scientist, the one that has Lou Gehrig's disease?
No, I haven't talked with him.
Oh, okay.
I haven't spoken with him.
You haven't spoken with him. I was kind of thinking he might be a speaker, you know, sooner or later at TED. But, you know, that to me, really and truly what you're seeing is touching lives in ways that we don't know. It's kind of like if a movie is made about your life or a documentary or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's so important. You know, Mark mm-hmm. is working on a movie himself, and I'm always mm-hmm. encouraging him because I think it's so important to leave for other people inspirational figures that have gone beyond, you know, let's say hardships of some kind mm-hmm. and gone on, you know, gone mm-hmm. on with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and we all have a mountain to climb, no matter how big, how small. You really can't compare them. You know, I know that.
No, but still, every person has his or her own struggle in life. We all have things that we have to struggle with. And I think the struggle in itself is not fun at all, but it can give you something that can give you strength, it can give you something of great use in life, even though in the midst of it, it's very hard.
Yeah, right. When you're in it, you don't think it's going to be...
No, then you don't think that way. Later on, you hopefully think that way.
No, it's kind of hard to stop and look at all the bright sides at times.
Mm.
What's going on? And you know, timing, there's that timing in the world that is really kind of mysterious and beyond
mm.
what we know. Mm. And, you know, Mark, I didn't know that he even knew Derek Sivers, you know, CD Baby, who used to own CD Baby. And I thought, that's weird. You know, we're kind of reconnected in some odd
yeah.
way. And you're
yeah.
not, are you on CD Baby right now?
No, I'm not. Not
you're
yet.
Not? No? Well,
yes, definitely. We should send to Lena because it really is it's a great organization for anyone,
yeah.
you know, a global, for a global network to follow this because it's it really supports the artist and doesn't exploit the artist like other companies have in the past.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's very very exciting.
It really is. You know, Derek is he doesn't own it at all anymore, but he's kind of like this light that just kind of,
yeah.
he feels like it's what he can do to be of service instead of what the world can do for him, and that's kind of unusual.
Mm,
I found that to be a little, you know, whenever you were like very little and you realized that you were a little different than maybe the other kids in school, how did you deal with that? Are your parents, did they help you through that and they say, just don't even think about it or just try harder? Or how did you deal with that?
I never woke up, I never had a memory yet anyway that I woke up and realized that I was different. It was in my mind, I think, all the time from early years. But my parents always treated me in a way that made me feel like everyone else, but at the same time feel very special. My challenges or my handicap was not a hindrance to do what I wanted to do. They never
exactly.
put limits in my life. So they always encouraged me to do what I was interested in.
So they got into you instead of the physical. They
yeah.
found out
and,
who
and
you
also
were.
We had a lot of humor in our family. I always learned from very early. I learned not to take myself too serious.
Okay.
But to be able to kind of make jokes about myself, about
yeah.
who I am, about
yeah.
my handicap, and not take it too serious, because then it can be so hard too. I think
to do.
Life with a very large pinch of salt, I think, because. If you did take it, I mean, the world is really an insane place if you were to look at it objectively. And, you know, I love the Peace Pilgrim tells an amazing story about another being that comes from outer space and observes man or mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And their conclusion is actually horrifying when they summarize in three or four very logical sentences that we reward young men for efficiently killing hundreds, if not thousands, of people during war, but we actually only kill one or two people within the society, i.e. murderers. And he said, you know, based on this, I don't give this species very long to live, based on they're rewarded for killing large numbers and punished for not killing many people. And when you look at our society, which is obviously based on war, has been, especially the 20th century, it makes you realize, you know, what is our survival mode here? I mean, we seem to, at the drop of a hat, you know, we choose bombs instead of diplomacy. And, you know, life is insane. You know, when you look at it with those glasses on, in those filters, you think to yourself, how we've even got this far is a miracle as a species, because all we sort of do is destroy. And if you can't keep a sense of humor and look at this and sort of step back, you know, it's easy to want to jump off the planet, you know, because you think, well, what am I doing here? You know, it's like none of these people represent what I believe. People, you know, like the wars that are raging all over the world, and the famine, and the lack and the abundance in some places, you know, it's like, it's like we have everything we need on this planet, and yet so many people go without. And I think that's our job. You know, the haves do have to start looking after the have-nots. It's not, I'm all right, Jack, you know, tough luck, you were born in the wrong country. It's like, you know, we have to realize, as soon as we realize we're all one and we're all connected and we're not going to move on an evolutionary scale to the next level until we take everyone with us, then, you know, it's like we're stuck, we're stalled, you know. And I do get the feeling, and, you know, and this is why I'm inspired to do my work, that we're moving towards that, and there's definitely an energy around. And speaking of Derek, again, the synchronicity, I actually chuckled to myself when you mentioned his name, because I just thought, there it goes again, you know, another synchronicity, another coincidence, if you will.
Absolutely, because I just emailed him. I sent him tonight's show, and I sent him Lena Maria's email, and, you know, not her email, but her website, and, you know, it was just like, and then they featured you on the homepage, Lena Maria, and I wrote him, and I said, look at that picture, and, you know, it is synchronicity. I had no idea, absolutely none, that Mark even knew him, so, yeah.
How many other people, you know, we all know, it's like, you know, it's so true. I mean, you guys must be feeling this now, like, the old story is it's 6 degrees of separation, but my life seems to be 2 or 3 these days.
Oh?
With almost everybody, you know, it's like if you meet one person, you can mention a few names, especially in Los Angeles, because it's obviously a very, in the film business anyway, it's a very small, you know, it's a village basically. But you know, but it spans internationally. You know, it's just like, you know, people in London are connected, and you really feel that. Lena Maria, are you on Facebook by any chance?
I am.
Okay. Oh, well, I'll add you as a friend then. I'll track you down and send. Is it Lena Maria Klingbeil?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, cool. I'll find you, and we can become friends. But there's a great example of less than 6 degrees of separation, because I find all these people finding me through, you know, and they say, oh, I'm friends with this person who may be in New York or in London or wherever.
Yeah.
And the world is just getting so small. You know, we're going to have to rename the one-liner. It's going to be 3 degrees of separation soon, I think.
Well, you know, where music comes in, and I think that, you know, Lena's singing and song, all of music to me just speaks that higher language where we all just, we hook in, you know, we're all the same. Once we hear that beat or that music, it's just like, oh, okay, that universal language.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It heals, you know, music is an amazing healing energy, and that's what it's all about, you know. It's about again creativity, tapping into that. I know. David Lynch actually is doing a fundraising concert. I think it's next week with Paul McCartney, and he talks. Oh. It's funny, Paul McCartney. The stuff he's saying is so Peace Pilgrim. He's talking about we can only get peace once we have inner peace, which is exactly what Peace Pilgrim says, and all of these, you know, these amazing insights.
Right.
I think there's a really a new hope, especially with Obama in power, and, you know, and with this whole sort of, like, you know, this time for change, and it just feels like we've had the whole world has had a new lick of paint, you know, it's like a fresh start. I'm very optimistic for the future for everyone, and I think, you know, I think we're all part of the same plan. We're all here to, you know, I'm here to work with other sort of conscious projects or, you know, projects about amazing people. And Lena, you know, obviously you're doing it, you know, you're out there, that's why you're on the show, you've done it many, many times over. And Joy, you know, you bring everybody into this focal point and tell the world, you know, you're doing your part just like everyone else.
Well, you know, I feel like somebody like Lena, you know, when I saw you, Lena, I just felt this chill go through me, and I thought, and it took a while working, you know, with your agent, but I just had, you know, I guess I felt guided, and I just go with it, because like I tell everybody, I don't know any jokes or any of that. All I know what to do is ask questions and get co-hosts.
Wonderful.
But I, you know, I sent your song, actually, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I sent that to Derek Severs because I felt like, you know, it really made me cry. And I thought, well, he started CD Baby, which is music, and I thought he might really enjoy that. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah.
I can't wait to see the documentary about your life. I really will be the one that will be the first to watch that. I'm always needing inspiration, so I hope you'll let us know whenever you're married, right now?
Well, I used to be.
I was married
for 10 years.
Oh,
But then we divorced four years ago. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're single. You're out
now
there.
I'm single. Yeah.
People, she's available.
Find her on Facebook.
Now, wait a minute, Mark.
No, Facebook's a public. The good thing about Facebook, you can control who you let in. You know, you can say yes or no. So
yeah.
That's good. That's
it's not
true.
Public domain, you know, literally. It's not like people are knocking on your front door.
No. I think that Facebook is really fun because you really get to know a lot of people all around the world. And it's... it's really a good platform to know, to get to know people that you would never have a chance to.
Absolutely.
To get to know otherwise.
It's really breaking down cultural barriers, and I think, you know, even a generation ago, you know, our parents or our parents' parents, you know, you mention a nationality, and you know, and people instantly, you know, the English, it was always we hate the French, right? And then there's always a nation versus a nation. But the great thing about Facebook, it breaks down those cultural barriers. And people don't even have to travel now, and they can make friends in those countries. And they realize the similarities between people are much less than the differences, you know, are much fewer. And you get to know people for who they are. And we're all the same. Yeah, we have different accents and we speak different languages, but ultimately we care about the same things. We want to achieve things. And, you know, most people are good people and they're not monsters. I mean, I traveled around the world for 5 years nonstop and literally lived in many, many countries, like dozens of countries. And that's the one thing that I realized, you know, we're basically fundamentally the same, you know, no matter if it's you know, Southeast Asia or Europe or Australia, wherever. And I think these tools like Facebook are really opening people's, you know, hearts and minds to that fact. And
they
ultimately,
are. They're
the thing
amazing.
Is, yeah,
you meet
it closes,
people.
You know, it's bringing us into that unity consciousness that I think is the only way we can get to the next step in terms of our own social evolution, you know, when we start realizing we have to take care of the planet, we have to start taking care of ourselves and the people that, you know, that have less people. I'm talking about the developing countries, like, you know, obviously Africa and parts of... you know,
like,
all these countries that they don't even get, you know, they don't even have three meals a day. You know, they're lucky to get one meal a day.
Yeah.
And that'll be a bowl of rice, you know, or a handful of rice. So it's just like I read an interesting fact the other day, and this is actually quite scary. The United States spends more money on garbage bags, so like the black bin liners, as we call them, you know, black bags for to throw away your trash. America spends more money just on the bags themselves to throw away our garbage than the poorest 100 countries spend on everything.
Oh, gee.
Oh, wow.
Just put that into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You know, that's true. I can imagine. Well, I guess it's like... you know, as our world gets smaller and the walls go up and we become one world, that it'll be easier for us to see. I mean, like tonight, we're on a show that is reaching everyone on earth. Kids that don't have computers can pick up a phone, a cell phone, and listen to this show. And so it's like, to me, you know, the world is becoming this small, and that is really what it's all about. That's why I do this show, so that we can share people with everyone else out there. I mean, we really are one world. Alan Levy is the founder, the inventor of Blog Talk Radio, and I always tell him, I've got to get wings because I can't keep up with you, Alan. He's too fast. He adds Twitter, he adds this, he adds that. But, you know, he actually is leading us onward, and he's making this very easy for us all to talk to each other and share each other all over the world. So I can't say enough for his mind. And thank you, Alan Levy, for starting Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Alan. It's definitely the great democratizer. You know, it's creating a level playing field for people all around the world to not only access unbiased and you know, censored information and you know, in terms of media or mainstream media, it's also allowing, you know, people with an everyday voice to get out there, and if they have something to say, to have their own radio show. And to really, you know, and to market themselves and do this on, you know, do this on their own terms. You don't have to be employed by some big radio station now. You know, you just, if you have an idea and the drive and obviously the skill that you have, Joy, to you know, put these shows together every week and more. It's like, you know, but it's a passion. You know, if you have a passion for it, now it can be done. Whereas before, people may have had a passion, but you know, it wasn't possible because only so many people reached the top of the tree. You know.
They could only do it. That's right. Lena, I have got to know, what are the, like, the curve cuts, like, for wheelchairs and things like that? What is that like in Sweden? Is that ahead of its time? Because in San Francisco, we're pretty good here with bus lifts and all that.
Well, it's, we have a lot of different equipment for many different kind of handicaps, and the good thing in Sweden is that you get it for free from the government if you need it. And so my car, for example, that is remodeled, so I can drive it with my feet. That I get money from the government to rebuild it and to fix it for me. And I think when I travel in Asia. Where I spend most of my time. I see that the equipment is there, but the money is not there, so it doesn't really reach the people that really need the different things.
Okay.
And
so, like, their buses might not have wheelchair lifts.
Excuse me?
Like, if you go on a bus there and you're in a wheelchair, they may not have a lift to bring you up on board.
No, exactly. And most of the times, the handicapped people are not even visible in the street.
Not even visible.
No.
Okay.
So they, and I think that's also something that is one of the reasons that I'm able to do what I'm doing today is because of the attitudes and the way of thinking in my country about handicapped people, that we're all integrated into the normal society.
Normal society, like over here, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same in America. And it's otherwise it would be impossible to live the life I live today if people around me didn't accept it and people around me didn't allow me into the society.
And in China, they haven't quite gotten into that yet as far as integrating.
No, that's true. And it's so there's a lot of things to be done and a lot of things that is quite easy to change that could be done. But it takes time, and it takes time to change people's attitudes. Yeah.
Even in Ireland, I think in different countries, you know, that what we have in the United States and Sweden and Denmark and Finland, you know, we understand, you know, more, and we've gotten busy. Well, actually, here, you know, the buses and the trains, and if they don't have the lifts working. You know, people just get really angry, and they send letters, and they write in the newspaper, and they call the mayor. You know, they make them do things here. You know, they will not let them get away with any of it. So, I think that may be what will happen eventually, maybe in China. You know, as time. What made you start going to Japan? I'm very curious about that. You're very big in Japan.
Yeah, that was because of the Gold Insight, the first documentary. It was a part of a competition for documentaries in Holland, I think it was. And then it won that competition. So it was sold, the documentary was sold to many different countries, and among them Japan. And it was sent there in a big kind of news, it's called News Station, a news program that is on air every night on one of the big channels.
Oh.
And after it was shown, a lot of people wrote to the TV station and called in and said that they wanted to see more about this because it was so different. So then they came from Japan with a TV crew and made a new short, not a documentary, what do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
A short clip about myself. And then
like
it was
a yeah.
Uh-huh.
Trailer.
And then, excuse me?
Like a trailer? Like a preview?
Yeah, like a trailer.
Like
yeah.
A trailer, okay.
Yeah. And then I was invited a third time to be there in a live show, to be interviewed and to sing a song. And then that was the start, because after that a lot of people knew me and they wanted me to come there and have concerts and talk about my life. And
oh, okay. Yes. So you were invited. Oh, okay. Now, in Japan.
This was in 92, so it's
okay.
Been going on for some years now.
You haven't. Well, are they more progressive than China?
Yeah, they are. They have been quite a rich country for several years, and they have.
Right.
So they do have the money, but they don't always have the knowledge, I think.
The knowledge, yeah. It's like...
and Thailand is the opposite concerning handicapped people. That Thailand have a lot of knowledge how to do it, but they don't have the money. They don't have the money,
yeah. So it's all a matter of time. Teaching and, you know, somebody going over there like you do, because I read that you were always... You know, going over, you're well received in China and Japan, which is wonderful. And I think that, you know, it's only by seeing and doing and walking the talk that we learn. You know, it's not easy. I think, Lena. I mean, you make it sound very, very easy that you got up this early and called in, but I can understand that. Everything you do, it takes a little bit extra compared to what Mark and I have to do or the average person has to do. And I really appreciate all that you did to get on the show tonight. I think that I would give a clap, but if I do, I'll drop the phone.
But I was very happy and feel very honored to be on your show. And it was so nice to talk to you and meet you.
Well,
and also Mark, nice to meet you.
Can I just say, guys, speak for yourself there, Joy, because I love my sleep. And I find it difficult to get out of bed, and my lovely girlfriend will attest to that. I just love when I go to bed. I mean, I probably sleep 7 or 8 hours on any given night, but
yeah.
I just have such amazing dreams. It's like going to the movies, and I don't want to get up. I'm this again, you know, I'm back here, and then... And I'm usually exhausted, and I, you know, I tell my girlfriend my dreams, and she's like, "That's just like, you know, it's just unbelievable." But I look forward to going to sleep. It's like I'm guaranteed to watch 3 movies, and getting out of bed is a real, it's a challenge for me. But
keep dreaming. Huh.
Yeah, I know.
And you're running up and down all those stairs, Mark.
Well, I do the steps just to try and tire myself out, so I will sleep. But I've always had vivid dreams, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because it's like, you know, sometimes it's nice just to turn off and not always be experiencing consciously experiencing things. So I have a very good memory of my dreams as well, which, you know, I obviously I keep a little notebook as well if I have an exceptional one, because I believe dreams are very great ways of subconsciously what we're processing. So,
do you get new ideas from your dreams to new movies?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do get lots of ideas, but, like, the movies I'm attracted to are movies that are about stories about real people. So
okay.
Peace Pilgrim is a true story. So obviously a lot of the stuff that I work from, like, you know, Peace Pilgrim, I'm actually adapting a book called Peace Pilgrim, Her Life and Work in Her Own Words. So we have so much information and so much material that we use as a resource. It's not like I have to go to sleep and come up with an original idea, you know. So the idea is there, but it definitely helps me with the creative process and allows me to come up with the scenes and, you know, different characters to interact with the main characters, because sometimes all the, you know, all the facts and stories aren't necessarily in the story or in the information that you have. So yeah, it's definitely a bonus. It's definitely a resource that I do tap into.
I'm nothing special, in fact I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you probably heard it before. But I have a talent